Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I've started a series talking about Paul's secrets to happiness, and I've actually got a list of 20 things. 19 of them are taken out of the book of Philippians, so primarily this is a study through the book of Philippians. But I started in Acts chapter 16 because that's where Paul was called to go over into Macedonia, and it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, that he saw a vision, a man saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And he assuredly gathered that God had sent them there. And that was the reason that when he got beaten and put in the dungeon, his feet and hands in stocks, he was able to break out into song because he knew he was in the center of God's will. That's the first key to really experiencing the joy, the happiness, the peace, the satisfaction, the fulfillment that God wants you to have is you've got to know that you're doing what God called you to do, because there's an anointing that only comes when you are in the center of God's will. Man, that's powerful. The second thing I've been talking about, Philippians chapter 1, Paul loved other people and he was into other people. He wasn't all wrapped up in himself. He wasn't just focused on his situation. I read these verses yesterday out of Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, where he talked about that in every prayer, in verse 4, he made requests for these people for their fellowship, their partnership, their companionship in the gospel. And then in verse 7, he says, "Even as it is meet or appropriate for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace." And then he says in verse 8, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." There is a lot in these verses. I'm just skipping through this because I've got 18 other things that I want to share. But this is the second key to Paul's happiness, is that he loved other people. He had them in his heart. They were a part of him. He longed after them, is what it says in verse 8. In the bowels of Christ, he prayed for them that their love would abound more and more. I tell you, if you don't have relationships with other people, if you are just an island unto yourself, you aren't going to experience the joy and the happiness that God wants you to have. Now, you can't be best friends with every person. There's even some people that you need to separate yourself from, and there's many scriptures that talk about that. But nonetheless, you need relationships. You need to reach out to other people. And there are some people that are just, they aren't friendly. You know, the scripture says that to have friends, a man must show himself friendly. There's people who want friends, and yet you aren't friendly. You don't reach out to other people. And I tell you, that's a recipe for sadness, for disaster. You need other people. The body of Christ, we need each other. And we could spend a lot more time making that point. But this is one of the secrets of Paul's happiness, is that even when he was in prison and he was in bad situations, he was thinking of other people. He was praying for them. He was receiving joy and comfort to hear that they were prospering and that they were doing good, that the seeds he had sown in their life were working. You know, in my life, this is one of the things that gives me a lot of satisfaction and peace, and that is that I have spent 46 years now preaching the gospel, sharing with people, giving to people, praying for people, doing things, giving. We've given away, I have no way of knowing, but over 20 or 30 million tapes, CDs, books, DVDs, things on our website. We just give and we sow into people's lives. And you know what? I constantly hear reports back about people's lives that are being changed, about how that it's affected people. I see on our website, I read the guest book nearly every single day, and people put on their comments about how the Lord has touched them. And you know what? It is one of the ways that God just gives me joy and peace. And in a sense, I live because I see that it's changing people's lives. It's making a difference. Paul had other people in his life. He had sown into other people, and he was taking joy and satisfaction in their prosperity. Even though he was in a situation where he was in prison and he was suffering, he was rejoicing over the impact that his life had made, over the way that other people were prospering, even if he wasn't prospering at the moment. I'll tell you, this is big. This is huge. And yet, the vast majority of people that I know that are really just chronically depressed, discouraged, defeated, they're negative and stuff, it's because they don't reach out to other people. They're more like a vacuum cleaner that's just sucking everything that they possibly can for themselves. You need to reverse that process and start giving and start investing yourself in other people. And you need to connect with other people. Go out and bless them. And I tell you, if you would do that, it would make a huge difference. So that was the second thing that we're talking about, secrets to Paul's happiness. Look in verse 12. Here's the third thing. He says, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice." You know, some of this is a little awkward, the wording. I believe when he's talking about that he's rejoicing that people are preaching Christ out of envy and strife and contention, not sincerely, thinking that they're adding affliction to his bonds. I believe that what this is talking about is that Paul had given a defense before Caesar, and he had been in prison in Rome, and he had told anybody who would listen about Jesus. And there were people that were mocking him. I bet you that the news just spread among all of Caesar's palace that there's this guy locked up for believing that Jesus was the Son of God, that it was God manifest in the flesh. And yet, he got crucified. His own people crucified him. They killed him. They buried him. But Paul says that on the third day, he rose from the dead and that now he is alive and ascended back into heaven. They were probably saying it out of mockery, thinking that they were somehow or another making his imprisonment worse by mocking him and ridiculing him. But Paul says that the word's getting out. Man, God could take those pieces of information, even if it was said in mockery, and he could use it to reveal the truth and to touch someone's life. And then there was other people who were getting bold because they were seeing Paul still standing strong, even in the midst of imprisonment and persecution, all the things he had gone through. And it encouraged other people to get out and preach the gospel more boldly. And Paul said, "Because of this, I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Now remember, the reason Paul was saying these things is because he loved these people and he knew that these people loved him. They were a part of his ministry. They had experienced relationship with God because of the Apostle Paul. And Paul is trying to comfort them. He is writing a letter from prison to comfort the people who loved him. Again, this is as rare as hen's teeth. Most people who would have been in prison, in an unjust prison situation, in prison for 4 years, shipwrecked, whipped, beaten, all of these things. And if you would have been in a situation like that, most people wouldn't be caring about anybody else. You'd be wanting everybody to, "Why doesn't somebody minister to me?" But Paul, see, was other people minded. He was thinking about other people, and he was trying to assure these people who loved him that, "Hey, it's okay. I'm in prison. It's a terrible situation." I tell you, prison in Paul's day wasn't like prison today, where people have flat screen TVs and, you know, can listen to all the music and watch whatever they want to and receive letters and do this. I tell you, it was prison. It was a bad situation. And instead of Paul just sitting there, why doesn't somebody minister to me and trying to suck everything towards himself and only thinking about himself? Here's Paul writing to people who he knew were concerned about him, and he's trying to comfort them and assure them that he's okay. And how did he do it? He started by saying, look, it has fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. This is what he goes on to say in verse 18. It says, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He's trying to comfort them, and he says, look, here's the logic. He's saying the gospel is being promoted. People are getting bold to preach the gospel without fear. People are mocking me, but the word is getting out. He says, so the gospel is being promoted. It's working out for the furtherance of the gospel, and he uses that to comfort people. Now, think about this. If you were in prison, and if somebody said, how are you doing? And if you said, well, it's good. It's good because you know what? People are turning to Christ because of my suffering. There's not very many people. There's not one out of 1,000 people that would think that way. Instead, they'd think about, who cares about somebody turning to Christ? I'm suffering. What about me? And you would be focused on yourself and focused on your suffering. But Paul, I mean, this is nearly naive on his part. He just is so into other people, and he is so into promoting the gospel. I mean, that is big in his life. It's huge. It's his reason for living is preaching the gospel. And if people are turning to the Lord, and if the gospel is being proclaimed and people's lives are being changed because of his imprisonment, then it's worth it all. I tell you, that is exactly opposite the attitude of most people watching this program. And I'm not saying this to trash you. I'm just saying that we are so carnal today. We are so far removed from what God intended that the average mindset, the normal mindset, even of Christians, if you were in prison and if you were suffering and somebody says, how are you doing? Instead of trying to say, well, the gospel is being promoted, so therefore all of my suffering is well worth it. The average person would sit there, and if they were suffering, it wouldn't matter what benefit it was to anybody else. They would put themselves first and foremost. They would put themselves center stage, and if you are suffering, then it doesn't matter what benefit it is to anybody else. It's all about you. That is the reason that the average person watching this program doesn't have the same joy and peace that the Apostle Paul did, so that if you were in prison, in dungeon, with your feet and hands in stocks, you wouldn't break out into song and praise at midnight because it's all about you. But Paul had something bigger than himself to live for. Boy, this is important. I can't tell you how important this is. But most people are just living for themselves. It is all about themselves. It's all about getting your needs met. And forget anybody and everybody else. It's all about you. If that's your attitude, that is the opposite attitude that Paul is expressing here. And this is the reason that Paul was able to rejoice in a hard spot and you aren't, is because it's all about you. I'm telling you, you need to have something bigger than yourself to live for. I think that that's the third reason why Paul was able to rejoice in hard times. Is because he had something bigger than himself. The gospel was going forth. And even when he was being mocked, and even when he was potentially going to face execution and all of these terrible things happening to him, if the gospel would be promoted by that, so be it. You know what? When you have that kind of an attitude and something is bigger than you, it really hinders the devil in being able to affect you. If you have things that are more important than you, it really limits what Satan can do. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and look when Satan came against Adam and Eve, and it was all about them. has God said? You are going to be like gods if you eat of this. And it was all about them. He deceived them into thinking that somehow or another they were missing out on something. The truth is they had more abundance, more of everything before they rebelled at God than they did afterwards. But he convinced them that rebelling at God and not following God's will was the way to promote themselves. If they had been dead to themselves, if they had thought, well, you know what, God is more important than us. This creation, this world is more important than us, and we aren't going to put our needs. And they were deceived. It was not true that eating of the fruit would actually promote them. It actually hurt them. But even if they had bought into the lie and if they had thought that they would have been better off, if they would have put God and the creation and everything else above themselves, they wouldn't have fallen for this temptation. It was selfish. This is how Satan comes against us. Selfishness is Satan's inroad into our life. And Paul had something that was bigger than himself, something that was more important than himself. If you don't have something that is more important than your personal success, then I guarantee you it's a recipe for discouragement and defeat and disaster. You need to have something that's more important than you. You are not the center of the universe. You know, I've read about people that died because they translated the Bible into the common language. And there was a period of time back when that was prohibited. And I don't know all of the reasons. I know it was demonically inspired by the devil to keep people in ignorance. You know, Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so the Word of God getting into people's hands was a powerful, powerful tool for the gospel, and Satan fought against it. And because of it, people who translated the gospel, the Bible, into a known language were persecuted. And I remember reading about one who, I believe it was Tyndale, who translated the scriptures, and he lived in Germany or someplace in Europe, but then he was brought back to England and tried, and he was burned at the stake. And, you know, that's a terrible, terrible thing. But within just a very few years, there was such a rebellion towards this. There was such an outcry that within, I forget the exact number of years, but less than one generation after, he was burned at the stake because he had translated the Bible into a known language. That's when King James translated the scripture into what we call the King James Bible, and it just began to spread everywhere. Did you know that Tyndale's suffering actually was the thing that changed public opinion, that opened up the door, that released this? And his sacrifice, even though if you just looked at it from a selfish point of view, look at what this man did and what it cost him, and it wasn't worth it. Well, if you look at it in just a selfish point of view, you know, you might be able to make that argument, but when you look at it in the big picture, his death is the thing that turned public opinion, that changed everything around, and within just a few years, the Bible was translated into the common language, and it sparked the Protestant Reformation. It changed the world, the Industrial Revolution. It has changed countries. It caused the founding of the United States of America because people read the Bible and had a longing for freedom, etc. I mean, it changed the course of the world. And so in that sense, it was well worth it. This is what Paul is saying right here. Paul was in prison. Paul was suffering. But he had something bigger than himself, and that was preaching the gospel. And because of his imprisonment, the gospel had now been exported all the way to Rome. In Caesar's household, people were being converted. Even the people who didn't receive the message were spreading the message and getting these facts about Christ and what he did out there. And because of this, Paul said, "I'm rejoicing and praising God." One of the reasons he rejoiced was because he had something bigger than himself to live for. And I'm telling you, this is essential. If you are going to experience true joy and peace and happiness, you need to have something bigger than yourself to live for. You need to have a purpose in your life that is beyond just self-promotion and self-satisfaction. You need to have something beyond yourself. This is just huge. I don't have the words. Again, I could probably spend a week on this one point. I'm trying to move along in this teaching. I'm not making as much progress as I'd like. But these things are so contrary to our society today. Our society has just put all of the emphasis on the individual. It's all about you. It's just all about you. I'm telling you, that is a recipe for sadness and defeat. You know, it says over in Luke chapter 12, Jesus was saying that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It's not about you. You know, the American dream is get all you can all you get, and then sit on your can, and it's just all about you. It's all about accumulating these things. And yet, the Scripture, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that he has. It's in denying yourself. It's in giving. It's in dying that you actually live. It's in rejecting yourself. It's in putting other people ahead of yourself that you actually begin to prosper. You've got to get outside of yourself. You've got to get beyond yourself. And I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus personally, it's impossible for you to do this. Fallen human nature, it's just all about you. That is just like the default switch. This is the way we all come into the world. You don't care that your mother's been up all night long giving birth, being in labor, and she needs the rest. You don't care about there's 100 other people in a church service that are trying to hear. But if you're a little baby, you come into this world, it's all about you. You'll wake people up in the middle of the night, feed me, change me, do something. You'll interrupt a church service. You don't care about any. You aren't aware that anybody else exists. You are 100% focused on yourself. It's all about you. Sadly, the problem is that we've got people that are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, that it's still that way. You've never gotten out of yourself. I'm telling you, you're going to have to get beyond this. It may be okay when you're a week old, but if you're 20, 50 years old, you don't need to be focused on yourself. You need to get beyond yourself. You need to get something that's bigger than yourself. Human nature, it's just all about you. But when you get born again, you need to begin to start putting God's kingdom ahead of your own kingdom. If you would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these other things would be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You would find out that it's more blessed to lay your life down and to bless somebody else. Go out and make somebody else's day. You need to put God's kingdom ahead of you. You know, in my personal life, man, there's times that I don't feel like doing things, but I've got something that's more important than what I feel. And I've got responsibilities. I've got a call on my life. I've got a ministry that's touching people. And there's times that I just have to go out and do what's right, not because I feel like doing it, but because I've got a commitment to something bigger than myself. Every one of you needs that. That's the way to true happiness and fulfillment. I'm out of time today, but we are going to continue this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in then and also listen to our announcer. I've got a brand new product, first time we've ever offered it, on Paul's Secrets to Happiness, and I believe it'd be a blessing to you. So listen to our announcer and then please call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. Or if you prefer, you can get the live DVD that was recorded at a Gospel Truth seminar. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of September, he'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson City, Tennessee, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference. In October, he'll be in Walsall, England and in Kampala, Uganda. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Thank you, friends and partners. Your investment in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College continues to make disciples worldwide. Meet Tracy Elliott Reap, born among the wild ponies of Dartmoor, England. As a young girl, she dreamed of cowboys and Indians.
That was a dream God put in me because decades later, I rode across America and met cowboys and Indians.
Encouraged by Andrew Womack's teaching on grace and faith, she embarked on horseback adventures, riding the length of New Zealand through Southern Europe, and more recently, riding alone through the American West from Mexico to Canada.
Life is an adventure. It should be an adventure with God. When we know, when we believe that God is for us.
She's published her Journeys of Faith in high-quality coffee table books, filled with scripture and inspiration. To enjoy Tracy's life of adventure, go to TracyElliottReap.com. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years. Go to CharisBibleCollege.org for more information.
I want to share with you that we're going to have a very special ministers conference this coming October. We're going to have Creflo Dollar with us, Dwayne Sheriff, Bob Yandian, Bob Nichols, and myself. In the past, I've only had three speakers, and I've had Bob Nichols and Bob Yandian along with myself for many years. But this year, we're moving up to our new facility in Woodland Park. It'll be the first ministers conference up there. We're doing some very special things. We're exploring having meals up there together, but the main thing is we're going to have all of these new speakers. And I tell you, it's going to be a powerful, powerful time. So I'd like to really encourage you, if you are a minister, whether you're licensed and ordained, but if you are called to full-time Christian ministry, I would like to encourage you to be with us. It's going to be a very, very special time.